The guys behind the From Corner to Corner podcast are diving deep into Montgomery County High School sports with the Community Trust Bank Coach's Corner. Join us as we talk local high school athletics with your local coaches. Whether you're a student athlete or a screaming fan, this is the place to turn to get the inside scoop before the next big game. And now, it's time for the show with Sean Kuiper, Neil Payne, Adam Muncy, and Wes Crouch.
So, and live from the Community Trust Bank Studio here on North Maysville in lovely Mount Sterling, this is the From Corner to Corner Coach's Corner presented by Community Trust Bank.
Member FDIC.
Your friend in banking.
Equal housing lender.
Thank you for joining us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Before we get started, we would like to take a moment to thank some of our sponsors who helped make this episode, episode number 238, and all our other episodes happen. Community Trust Bank, sponsor of our Coach's Corner show. Kimsoft, our Athlete of the Week sponsor. Tutu Sweet Treats, our Dog of the Week sponsor. CRC Renovations, Jacobs Auto Body, Kentucky Realty Group, Kentwell Commissary, and Simply Secure. They're the sponsor of our road show. And Brent Wehunts, Kentucky Farm Bureau in Frenchburg, the sponsor of our Menifee County Athlete of the Month program. While you're watching, go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, share. Let all your friends know that we are live and we have a legend in the studio. Adam, why don't you introduce our guest?
We got Nicholas County girls coach Greg Letcher with us tonight. Coach, welcome to the studio.
Woo! I appreciate you having me over. Now, you got to get off that legend thing.
Hey, no.
Listen, you do 40 years at any place. Well, that's legend
status. Legend status. Yes, sir.
Well, I like to downplay that. You know, a lot of them refer to me as a man, the myth, and the legend, but you know, there's a lot of people that go into making a man a myth and a legend. So I like to give all those people a shout out.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Well, so
have they renamed the gym for you yet? In the Greg Letcher court already?
No, I don't have my name on it.
Not yet.
So you just wrapped up your 40th season?
Well, altogether, it's 43. Makes my 41st year at Nicholas County, really. But, you know, I think they forgot the 40th, but I'll take the 40th. So we'll say 40th year at Nicholas County.
So that is quite the career. As it has wrapped up, we were talking before we went on the air, and, you know, now you get to do things like be granddad and, you know, babysit a couple grandkids and stuff like that. As you look back on your coaching career, like, what's something that comes to mind?
You know, I just feel like I've been blessed over the course of my career. You know, I was influenced at an early age by some great coaches. My dad being my first Little League baseball coach, and then my first Little League basketball coach being Larry Allison. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame in the 10th region as far as a girls coach, and the Hall of Fame as far as a baseball coach. He coached at Robertson County, Harrison County, and GRC. And, you know, he's my Little League basketball coach. He is my Babe Ruth baseball coach. And then I went on from that, and, you know, I had the privilege of playing high school football with Paul Hampton. He was a graduate of Belfry High School, who was graduating EKU. And if you'd gone to EKU and looked at the facility there on the end of the field, Cabin on the Hill, well, that's where it originated from. It's from Paul Hampton. He's one who started singing that song after the game. So I played for him my freshman and sophomore year in football. And then, of course, for the legendary Ben Pumphrey for the last 2 years in high school, and I coached with him for a couple years, and then I also coached with Billy Keene Anderson and played for him. Our baseball field's named after him. He was my high school baseball and basketball coach. I had the honor of coaching with him. So, you know, the people that I had the privilege of playing for from the very beginning, and the way they approached the game influenced me as a youngster and made me think about, you know, what I might want to go into when I got older. You know, I went to Morehead State without any idea of what I was going to do. I was a business major. And main reason why I went to Morehead State is my best friend in high school, he needed to go to Morehead to get some his GPA up to go to the Air Force Academy. So he needed a roommate. So I decided to go up there with him. And then I come in contact my sophomore year. You guys may know him, a guy named Adrian Franklin.
I know Adrian Franklin very well.
You know, he was my roommate at Moorhead for 3 years. You know, you know, Adrian's a little bit different, but we hit it off. We're good friends. Yeah. And the thing we had in common was sports.
Yeah.
And I also met a lot of good people there that later on became coaches. So, you know, I just give a credit to people in my background to influence me to do what I want to do.
And it sounds like some awful great influences. Did you always want to be a basketball coach?
Not really. You know, I started out at MMI. My dad refereed some basketball games over there, and a good friend of his worked there as a night study hall person. His son went to school there, so he had nighttime study hall. Mike Wrights was a head basketball coach there, and he knew that I'd graduated from Moorhead, was doing my student teaching at Mason County, and thought I might want to go into coaching. So Mike Wrights, I met with him, and he offered me an opportunity to come over and help him the last part of the year after doing my student teaching. And then I got a job there teaching the first year, and I coached a guy named John Ferguson, who was Adolph Rupp's right-hand man for 4 years at UK. And I taught next to Herky Rupp, Adolph Rupp's son. So, you know, I've been fortunate to run into some good people there at a very young age. And I started over there, I was coaching basketball. I was a head baseball coach and coached cross country. And then the lady that was my business teacher at Nichols County decided to retire, and I applied for the job and got the job there, and got involved in football, basketball, and track and field first, because Coach Pumphrey, my former player coach, you know, he wanted to take me and put me in track and field. You know, I followed track and field, but never had coached in track and field. But, you know, he wanted me to follow along with him and do the things that he was doing. So, you know, that's what influenced me to get into it. I really, when I went to college, had no idea I'd go into coaching, but you know, it's been a great profession for me, and been a wonderful journey.
So you were talking about MMI. You're talking about Millersburg Military, right?
Right. Now, oftentimes we refer to as Mama's Marching Idiots, but you know, but believe me, they were anything but idiots. You know, that was a great school. You know, a great teaching staff and some great kids. We had some good basketball teams. I had a good baseball team. Had a kid that played Connie Mack baseball for Nelson Ferris at Bourbon County. He was a pitcher, and you know, we just had the unfortunate, you know, we won the Bluegrass Conference, but, you know, we was in the district that time with Harrison, Paris, Bourbon, and Nicholas. And, you know, we drew Harrison in the first round of the district. I think they only beat us 7-4. Mike Whitaker was coaching in, I think it's his second year.
I was going to say, he's pretty decent.
And we played over at River Road Park, but I had a pretty good little baseball team. We had a really good basketball team. Now, that was back in the day. That's, you know, we had Alonzo Leonard. I didn't coach him, and he was there the first year, went to Moorhead State. But the next year, Coach Wrights got in connection with the Dirt Bowl in Lexington. So we was able to get a couple of Dirt Bowl kids to come down with Herky Rupp and play on our team. But they were great kids.
Yeah.
You know, ended up finishing up in MMI. Of course, they lived on campus then.
Yeah.
And it was good for them, and got them out of a situation there in Lexington. And they're real successful people right now. So, you know, I didn't really know if I was going to go into basketball. You know, I've coached everything. You know, for 30 years, I coached three sports.
Yeah.
You know, coached football, baseball, and track, and basketball, either boys or girls or whatever it may be. So, you know, that's sort of been my life. You know, I got five daughters.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope they call me dad or not, but that's probably a good situation.
Right.
We weren't, me a dad and them daughters, I don't know if we had wanted to have that closer relationship or not, you know, but I was gone a lot. So I give credit to my wife for doing a good job with them, because they're all doing really well. All of them graduating college, and youngest one's 22, the oldest one's 33. So they all got better jobs than I ever thought about having. You know, they're making more money now than I ever made in all my 43 years. So I give a credit to them for
which I mean, as a parent, that's what you want. You want your kids to do better than you did.
Oh, yes. Now, they've got some debt hanging over their heads, but that's on them. That's not on me.
Right.
So, Coach, when you started this journey at Nicholas County 41 years ago, did you ever think it would be something that carried this long?
Not really. You know, but, you know, I got back, you know, when I grew up and got into this, even as a kid, you know, my dad, my uncles that I worked for, my whole family, you know, they've been hard workers, and they put a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and they were always driven to do something. So when I got into this, you know, I wasn't looking for a time off.
Right.
You know, and as far as teaching goes, you know, teaching was a big load for me too. You know, I taught business classes, had four different preparations each day. I sort of had to give up some things. You know, wanted me to do the FBLA president or be in charge of the FBLA. I did that for 3 or 4 years. And then they put me in this co-op supervisor position the last period of the day. And, you know, I had about 70 kids in that I had to oversee. So that plus coaching year round. But, you know, times have changed. You know, one of the reasons maybe I did that for 30 years is that back then sports had a season.
Yep. Right.
Now sports don't have a season. No, basketball has a year season. Football has a year-round season. Yep. Baseball has a year-round season. Back then, you know, in a small school, I had the same kids on the football team, the basketball team, the baseball team, the track and field team, whatever it may be. And boys or girls, they consisted of just about the same kids, and we're getting away from that now. And that's probably one of the reasons why I decided it's time for me to retire, because those kids you count on, yep. Thing about the kids, but the situation that we're in nowadays, we're expected to just participate in one, possibly two things, but not three.
Right. So you went 22-11 this year, right?
22-11.
I mean, 41 years, and you're still getting results. You were coach of the year in the 10th region. Your point guard led the team in scoring. What would you say is the one thing that sets your team apart from any other teams in the region?
Well, I think the fact is, you know, coming into the season, you know, you really don't know what you're going to have until you get there. You know, we had a pretty good summer, but two of the girls that we only played about 6 or 7 kids all summer. But, you know, my teams in the summertime usually play pretty well. I don't know. We usually play our best basketball when we play in the summer. Maybe the mamas and daddies aren't in the stands. I don't know where it is. Tell them what to do or what not to do. But usually it's just me as a coach and them as players, and we're away from everything. And they usually play pretty decent basketball. But we had a good summer. I think one of the telling things is in the summertime, we went to Kentucky Christian's camp and we played Lawrence County. And Lawrence County had beaten everybody up there at that camp pretty bad during the course of that time. And they couldn't find anybody to really play them the second time. So we were there that day and I said, we'll play them. And we beat them about 10 or 15 points. And of course, we played Mason County during the summer and beat them and some other teams. But I think, you know, coming in, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I had one girl that had gone to Ohio State all summer, and she's in ROTC program, and she got her commercial flight license while she's there. Wow. So I got a pilot on my team.
Wow. So you don't even need a team bus. You got a team flight.
I got another girl, Katie Schweitzer. I don't know if you've heard about her or not. She's going to get one of those resilient awards at the end of the year KHSA gives out, and she got the athlete Kentucky Sports Medicine Comeback Player of the Year in the state of Kentucky. She plays a prosthetic on her leg, and she was a Governor Scholar. So she was gone all summer. And then you've got another girl that's playing softball all summer. So basically, you know, I basically played the basketball season with three kids that played in the summer. The Humphreys girl, Tessa was a nice player, Maggie, and the little Banks girl and Nevaeh Davis. Let's make it four, and Adams girl. Five girls have played in the summertime. But, you know, coming in, I thought I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what the schedule we had. Our ultimate goal was every season to win 20 games, win the district, and win the Class A. You know, we was able to do all those things.
Yep.
But, you know, we won the games I think we were supposed to win. We got favorable draws in the Class A region, except for Broster. But we played Broster, went to Raceland, played Broster in a pre-Christmas tournament. They beat us like 25, 26 points. People said, you know, that's going to be bad. You know, you're going to play Broster. I said, no, that gives us an opportunity to see what we got to do to try to beat them in the All-A, because we played them in the first round of the All-A. So we was fortunate enough to put in some things and beat them in the first round. Then we beat Robertson County, and then we beat Brighton County in overtime in the championship game. And basically, I had one player out with a sprained ankle in that game, and two of my starters fouled out at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So some of the girls that, like the Schweitzer girl and a couple other girls that hadn't played much all year, came in, and they did a spectacular job. And it made me so happy to see those kind of girls contribute as seniors and to be able to win a championship for them. Not for me. I'd been there before. But for them to see them win that and what that meant to them just meant the world to me. Then go on down to the state tournament and get to the Final Four. It was just a blessing. And then get to the district, you know, and we beat Pendleton County on their home court for the third time that season. That's not easy. You know, we just laid an egg in the regional tournament against Mason County, but, you know, we saw Clark County in front of that. So,
yeah.
I've not been too bad to egg.
So, Coach, if you think back, and there's lots of seasons, is there one season in particular that sticks out that you're like, man, like, and it may not have been your most successful season, but just one season that sticks out, you're like, that was a really fun season. Like, I really enjoyed this group.
Well, I took over the girls' basketball program 12 years ago. They'd had a lot of turmoil, you might say, in the previous years. And my daughter was in the seventh grade, and I knew most of the girls had played in the seventh, eighth grade. I knew most of her friends. My daughter wasn't the best player in the world. She didn't play that much, but she's on the team. And had some good girls, knew their parents pretty well. You know, they come to me, ask me if I take over the program. I was sort of happy doing the boys. Yeah. And I just decided to step away from teaching then. I retired from teaching in 2013. And after a lot of thought and after about four trips in their principal's office, I said, well, I'll give it a shot. And I must say that all 12 years that I've coached girls has been a blessing. I've been fortunate to have a great group of girls. You know, all the girls that have graduated from my basketball program, our basketball program, have been, except for one this year, I won't point names out, all of them have been either first team academic All-State or honorable mention All-State.
Right.
And they've all gone on to have successful livelihoods ever since.
Right.
But I can't really say that there's been one favorite team over the other. Now, I will go back and talk about the boys' side.
Sure.
I had a freshman boys' team one time that, to me, was probably the best team I ever coached. We went 24-0 during the regular season. I played every team in the 10th region and tried to play them all twice. You're probably familiar with some of the guys that played on the team, Daniel Brown, who's now the head coach at Henry Clay. Travis Sims, who passed away, was our former was our baseball coach. A guy named Jared Wills, who went on down to Greenwood, was assistant coach for Warren Central. When they went to the state tournament with Linnell DeWalt, coach of Tim Riley. Uh-huh. And then Brad Allison, who's the athletic director over Harrison County, was on that team. And then a guy named Kevin Morse and a guy named Jamie Simons, who's Maggie's dad.
Okay.
And a guy named Greg Gibb had seven players on that team.
Yeah.
We were 24-0. And we went to a regional freshman tournament that year and got beat by Maysville. And Maysville consisted of Orlando Mark and some of those guys. Well, when those guys come around the senior year, we played them in the finals of the region against Mason County.
Mm-hmm.
So Maysville's starting five as freshmen were Mason County's starting five when they consolidated.
Right.
But there's one key part that we didn't have on our team. That's Brad Allison. They were going back to his dad. His dad was the coach at Robertson County.
Okay.
Of course, he lived in Carlisle, but his dad coached at Robertson County. Then they hired him over at Harrison County. Mm-hmm. So when he got hired at Harrison County, he took Brad to Harrison County with him. And, you know, make a long story short, you know, Maysville, I say, beat us in the finals of the region.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if we'd had Brad as part of that, it might have been a championship team there. Same thing goes for baseball, too. Took him away from our baseball team. You know, Harrison County won back-to-back state baseball championships. They beat us in the finals of the district. They beat us in the finals of the region.
Yeah.
And to me, if Brad Allison was our catcher instead of Harrison County's catcher, I think Nicholas County might have won a state championship in baseball because it's pretty doggone good in baseball, believe me. You know, and that was a killer. So I blame us not being able to get to the state tournament on Brad Allison.
Thank you, Brad Allison.
We don't hold grudges, but Brad Allison.
We got a grudge here.
We got a grudge now. So, Coach, I mean, you've done this for a long time. What advice would you give young coaches out there to try to stay the course? Because you said it's a year-round sport now.
Well, you know, you hear, you know, I heard Coach Calipari talk about Reed Shepherd the other day and what separates Reed from a lot of guys. You know, he puts faith first. You know, I think that's one of the key things you got to do is put faith first and family. And then you got to find that your work's fulfilling. You know, I had a pastor one time. That's what he thought the three keys for a successful life or a successful livelihood is faith, family, and fulfilling work. So if I can give anybody that, and, you know, I think another key is, I heard a guy talk about the other day, you got to be likable. And likable, a lot of times, you know, you got to be sort of humble in this profession. And a lot of times, I don't know if you find that much anymore. You know, a little humility there, and you got to be loyal. You know, I don't think you find loyalty much. You know, they talk about playing for the name that's on the front of the shirt. Well, how can you play for the name on the front of the shirt? You know, when you're in college now, it's either transfer portal or one and done. Yep. So how are you going to play for the name on the front of the shirt? And high school is getting that way too. You know, and I look up, you know, I got a couple of players, you know, you don't know if they're even going to be at Nicholls County next year. I'm sure. I know for a fact that I've had players in the past to be contacted about coming here, coming there in order to play basketball. Yeah. And it's hard to do in a small community or small school. You know, that loyalty factor is just about out the door. And it's about what you're going to do, not what my kid's going to be able to do for you. It's what you're going to do for my kid.
Bingo.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. But, you know, you got to live with that a little bit. It's got to work hard. You got to work hard. You got to show up every day. You know, I don't want to brag on myself a little bit. You know, I don't like to do that. Go back to that being likable and humility. But, you know, ingrained in me as an early kid. You know, my dad run an auto parts store. He worked 6 days a week. He went to work at 6:30 in the morning. He didn't get off till about 6 o'clock at night. 6 days a week, he took a 20-minute lunch. So I saw that growing up as a kid. He never missed. He never missed. Now, he was my little league baseball coach, and he coached me all the way through, and he was a really good player. And he played for Nicholls County in 1956 when they got beat to sudden death in the regional championship game. Third overtime went to sudden death. They got beat by Maysville. The next year, Nicholls County went to the state tournament in 57. And they tell me the 56 team, he always told me the 56 team was better than the 57 team. My mom was a cheerleader on the 57 team. So my roots in Nicholls County go way back on all that. But no, think about MMI being going there. You know, Nicholls County is in the same district as MMI all those years. Went from 1959 to 1982 without ever drawing them in the district.
Wow.
And that's when Billy Keene Anderson was a basketball coach. He had to be the worst luck draw that there ever was. He didn't have a seed then. It was a blind draw. And from 1960 to whatever, I believe Nicholls County played the number one seed up to 1982. Now it's MMI. I pulled a pill out of the hat for MMI, and I drew Nicholls County. And guess what? Nicholls County beat MMI. So, I did Nicholls County a favor there. I was MMI. But, no, that's a long time going in a five-team district to never play one of the other teams in there. But, you know, I don't even know what the question was.
I don't remember either, but it was a good story. I like it.
No, advice for young coaches.
Advice for young coaches. So you hit it on at the beginning.
Right.
Faith, family, and fulfillment.
Just working hard. You know, just not missing. I go back, you know, coach, I've been to a lot of practices, a lot of games. I think I missed a track meet, regional track meet. My oldest daughter was graduating from the U.K. And I think that's the only game that I was a head coach of that I ever missed. I missed one game when I was assistant basketball coach, coached the JV boys team. And I was a football coach, and the football coaches went to the state championship football games. So I missed a game there. And then I missed a practice, two practices, I think, one in football. I was coming back to practice. My mom passed away in Lexington, so I had to go back to Lexington when she passed away. And then my grandfather, I was a pallbearer in his funeral. He was playing Paintsville in a tournament. Other than that, I may be mistaken. I don't think in 43 years, I think that's all I ever missed. Hey, you know, I've been blessed. I mean, I haven't been.
If you can count them on one hand, that's pretty daggone good.
And my daughters were all born. One was born on spring break. Two of them were born on Friday of game days. I took them. Took my wife to the hospital that morning. Up in the morning, baby is born. I made it back to the game at all. So.
You know, you touched on this a minute ago about being loyal, and you've obviously been loyal to the community. I mean, you surely had opportunities to go elsewhere. Was that never even a thought for you?
Well, not really. You know, like you said, you know, I probably missed out on some good opportunities. Maybe you never know.
Yeah.
But I'm happy where I'm at and what I did. You know, family to me is a big thing. It's a big thing for my wife. You know, you also got to consider your wife. My wife has been at her job now for 40 some years, and she loves it. I mean, we don't even take a vacation. She don't even take a day off because she loves her job. She works in physical therapy there for Nicholls County. She's worked in the hospital before that, but she works in the physical therapy thing. But, you know, we really didn't have any desire. Our kids, you know, like going to school there, and you know, you got five daughters, you know, uprooting them, moving them around. Right. And, you know, fact is, too, is fortunate for me, you know, having parents there and grandparents there, you know, babysitter is a big issue. That's my daughter now. She can't find babysitter. You know, I only got two grandkids right now, $5. I might have more in the future, but, you know, for them, babysitter's an issue. She doesn't have any place like I had to drop them off my mom,
Drop
them off her mom's, you know, stuff like that. So if you take these opportunities, there's a lot go into it. You know, you got to be selfish about what you want to do yourself sometimes. And that just wasn't in my blood, I don't think, to be selfish for me to be what I, you know, what I might want to become. Now, I did hear the Alabama basketball coach on TV this morning, you know, talking about he started out as a high school coach, you know, and moved on up through the ladders. But, you know, I look and see these teams doing things that they do, and I think it's no different than what we do. They just got a little bit better people maybe to do it with. But that's all coaching. You know, 10th region, all around, the people I coach against, they're all good coaches. You know, just like I said this year, we was forcing to win 22 games.
Yeah.
I got a player like Maggie Simons, had a great year.
Yeah.
You know, when you have things like that happen, then you reap the benefits of that.
Right.
I don't think I'm that any better coach than anybody else around there.
Right.
But when things like that happen and fall in place for you, then you get rewarded for that. So feel blessed on that. But, you know, that's that.
So you talk about Maggie, and she's a freshman. Coach like you would think maybe ride that out for three more years.
Well,
so what is it about now? Why now?
That's one of the tough things I had to do was consider Maggie. But, like, Maggie's going to work whether I'm there or not. You know, I got a video today. Her mom shared on Facebook. She's with the coach in Morgan County, and he's putting her through a workout today. You know, she does that. You know, she'll work out with me. But, you know, a lot of times in the summertime, we'd have open gym practice for 2 hours. Then she'd go somewhere else and work out for an hour or two. But, you know, Maggie's sort of reserved, quiet. But when it comes to having tenacity on a basketball court, she has it. She has the same qualities you see in Caitlin Clark. She's not a Caitlin Clark. She's not a Paige Beckers. But when I watch them play, she's the same sort of player. You know, they play point guard.
Yeah.
Well, Maggie plays point guard, but she's not your typical point guard, you might say, as far as quickness and things like that go. But, you know, her outside shot come a long way this year. I mean, she shot, you know, I've got her stats here. She shot from the field this year, 54 from the 2-point, 54.8% from the 3-point, 36.4%. And she got to the free throw line. You know, I don't have down here what she had from the free throw line, but she shot 77.4% from the free throw line. And she probably shot 225, 230 free throws. No, I've never had that.
Yeah.
You know, be someone that aggressive, that strong. And it's a shame we can't let her bring the ball up and throw it to herself, because I think she's positionless. I think she could play 1 through 5 on most teams and excel at any of those positions. You know, I think there's some schools out there. I think Bellarmine's shown some interest in her and come to a couple of our practices. But, you know, it's hard to step away when you got a girl like that. But I think whoever comes in, you know, will reap the benefits of that. And I hope that, and I told her, I said, anytime you want to work out, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm out of coaching for good. I'm not, you never say never, I'll probably never, ever come back as a head coach. But I told these kids, if they ever want me to work them out or do anything for them, you know, I'm more happy to do that. You know, I love going to practice. I love the games. I love the preparation. It's sort of the outside things that you deal with now that, you know, I just think it was a good time for me personally to step away and have a good taste in my mouth. 41 years of good taste, of good things. And, you know, you don't always see that the way things are going sometimes. When you've been around long enough, you sort of know, you know, you don't want to overstep your stay sometimes, even though you've been there.
Don't stay long enough, you're a villain.
Right.
And, you know, and I've got a lot of friends. We've got a great community. You know, that's one thing about the small town school. You know, we go play. We went and played in the Class A state tournament, and we had tremendous following.
It was loud. I listened on the radio.
Tremendous following. And, you know, these kids are local heroes. You know, I don't know if you get that in these larger schools where you got kids moving in, moving out. You know, these kids will be remembered for the rest of their life in Nicholas County for what they've done. you know, right now we've got four former players from 1993 girls state championship team working our school system. You go, you got Nikki Orson, who's assistant principal. You got Kim Dinkins, who's Kim Blake. She's a social worker in our school system. You got a girl named Liz Shanding. She was a starting guard on that system, science teacher. You got Michelle Hopkins. She was a sixth man. She was a math teacher. You know, you got four former state championship players working there in their school system. So I don't know if any of them want to come back and coach or not. I got two former players that are assistant coaches for me that do a great job. They're young. They get along with the kids real well. So I don't know what approach they're going to have toward coaching or anything like that, or getting a coach. But, you know, we've got some good people around these kids and around these girls. And I wish nothing but the best for them. That's the thing about it. So, I'll be their biggest supporter and be their biggest fan. You know, it's just, I felt like it was time for me to get out of it. I'm still working at the school. I'm a half day migrant tutor. So I don't plan on giving that up. You know, I guess to have some income somewhere.
Right.
But that's it.
So you've obviously, you know, you talk about coaching, you've talked about coaching football, talk about coaching baseball, track. You mentioned cross country, obviously basketball. Sports, is there, the specific sport aside, is there an athlete in particular that sticks out over your time that was like, that might be the best athlete I've ever coached?
Well, you know, I wrote them down here because I thought maybe you might ask that. But in coaching football, you know, I spent 40 years coaching football. And in 40 years of coaching football, you know, we had some tough kids. And girls basketball, I've had some tough kids. I had some gritty girls. You know, we play hard.
Yeah.
We don't practice that long. But usually our practices are pretty hard. And our girls buy into it. And they play hard. And I expect them to play hard, and we play aggressive style of game. Maybe we're not the best athletes in the world, but they buy in and they try.
Yeah.
And I think football is the same way. Over the 40 years I coached football, I was 13 years the head football coach. And I must say, those 13 years of football coaching, I had some of the toughest kids that you could find anywhere. I stack them up against anybody. I had a kid named Weston Smoot. He sticks out my mind. One night he carried the ball 52 times in one football game. And he could have carried.
He wanted more.
He could have carried. He played every down on defense.
Yeah.
Had a kid named Johnny Maddox. He carried it 51 times and made 19 tackles. You know, never come off the field. He practiced Monday through Thursday the same way as he played on Friday.
Yeah.
Then had a kid named Caleb Pope. You know, he's sort of the same way. You know, he's our all-time leading rusher in that regard. You know, I had, you know, they're basketball players. Had a kid named Kyle Campbell, who was a good basketball player. Had several Daniel Brown. Right. You go back to Daniel Brown and those guys. You know, they was the first district championship team I coached in football. And, you know, and I just had some tough team, you know, not the individual, but I just had some tough kids. And I give them credit. We went and played Paintsville in a football game. I dressed 16 kids. Walter Brew was a head football coach at Paintsville. And ESPN just started up at that time. And he was going in the running to be there. Had needed a win or something to be the all-time winningest football coach in the country or the state of Kentucky. I can't remember what it was. Had 16 kids. We beat them 14-12. And that's probably one of the best victories I had. Then went to Raceland one year. We was down 32-14 with 8 minutes to go in the game. And we come back and beat them 36-34. And I can remember Coach Hopkins, who took over for me. He was a former player. He was a senior when I came to Nicholas County. And Coach Hopkins didn't have the best childhood growing up. But he was a tough kid.
Yeah.
And he came back to be my assistant football coach. And the opportunity to go coach basketball. They couldn't find anybody to be the boys' basketball coach. So Coach Hopp, he had coached the middle school team and helped me coach the high school team. And I said, well, I'll go coach basketball. You can take over the football team, because I knew that was a dream of his to do that. And he coached these kids. And some of these kids didn't come from the best roads in life.
Right.
But he could communicate with them, and he got along with them. He coached football for 20 years, and I was his assistant.
Yeah.
But, you know, and now it goes back. You know, I wish I kept a book. You know, I mentioned Ben Pumphrey. I don't know if you guys remember Ben Pumphrey or not. You might be too young to remember him, but you're talking about a character.
Yeah.
And I wish I kept a notebook, a plan for him for 2 years and coaching with him for 2 years of some of the things that he would do and some of the stories he would tell. He was a different. Now, I don't know how long he lasted in today's coaching profession, but some of the things he said, some of the things he'd do.
But
they were fun at that time. But, you know, I have to give him credit, too, as far as my coaching goes, especially in football. You know, I played for Paul Hampton first 2 years, a guy from Belfry.
Uh-huh.
He was tough. he had us blocking and tackling under barbed wire. I mean, if you raised up, you hit that barbed wire.
Yeah.
But as far as preparation and stuff like that, we didn't get any of it. We got toughness.
Yeah.
Now, when Coach Pumphrey came, it's a whole different game.
Yeah.
You know, first time we'd be introduced to film, hit them 16 millimeter or 8, whatever the thing. We'd go to Lexington after a game and get those tapes made.
Yeah.
But we sit in that classroom, we watch tape, and we go over the game. We didn't practice much out there. Didn't hit hardly any at all.
Yeah.
But we have like a track. He's a big track guy.
Yeah.
So our football practice consisted mostly of running accelerated 40s, maybe accelerated 100, some 200s, maybe a 300, something like that. But then we go watch film. But come Friday night, we knew everything that other team was going to do. And that's where I think I picked up on football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really and truly, I was of all the coaches, I was probably a better football coach than I was anything, because I could watch film and I could sit there on the sideline and tell my kids. They say, "Coach, why are you hollering out there and tell them?" Yeah, I said, "I'm not going to keep my mouth shut."
Right.
I said, "If I know where the ball's going, you might be wrong." I said, "I don't really care if I am wrong." I said, "I think I know where they're going, and we're going to stop them."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Same thing with blocking. They said, "Why are you telling that kid to block this and block?" I said, "If we're better than them, we're going to block them." I said, I don't take a chance on that kid not knowing what he's going to do.
Right.
We're going to tell them what they're going to do.
Right, right.
But I had some tough kids, and, you know, I learned a lot from Coach Pumphrey as far as preparation goes. And that's what I try to do, practice, preparation, whatever it may be. You know, you got to know, you got to have your kids on the same page as you and knowing what you're doing. And then, you know, I just had a lot of kids with big hearts.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of that, and we've kind of become adopted by the Menifee County community. We've right. given them some press. And you talked about the small towns, the small communities, and it's 100% accurate. I mean, we wish that, you know, of course here in Montgomery County, we wish that we got the fan support. It seems that the smaller schools get, because you talked about, you know, they truly are local legends. Some of those kids, you know, some of those kids that you mentioned, they're still talked about today. Like, right. you know, carry the ball 52 times in a game. Like, that would be unheard of for a kid nowadays to carry the ball 52 times in a game. But it's like, that's such a cool aspect, specifically of high school sports, those small towns. So, I mean, because they rally around your teams, and it's really a hometown proud kind of situation. So how big a part has your community played in your success as a coach and as teams?
Oh, it plays tremendous success. You know, anytime you need something, fundraiser, you need somebody to go out and do something for you. You know, we go play a district tournament. We got people coming up to us and wanting to take care of our meals. We go to the regional tournament. Somebody come up and want to take care of it. And the thing about it is, in a small community now, you got so many more sports, so many more organizations. You got more little league programs. You got travel teams. And I know they're – pocketbooks have to be saturated because they're always giving. Plus, you know, when I was growing up and football, we had Jockey International, you know, West Kentucky Textiles or Bluegrass Industries. You know, we had a factory there based, and you know, we had a president of the factory. His son graduated with me, and he basically we had a track at that time around our football field. He basically put the track around there, and you know, he got us a lot of things and did a lot of things. But we lost some of that. So it's dependent on a lot of small people to help out now rather than business people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've just been fortunate to be able to hang on and do what we do and offer what we do and do so many things. You know, we have really good little league programs, travel team program, you know, and that's been a big thing now, trying to get local travel teams and play together. And sometimes they get spread out, you know, and it's travel. You know, I've been around long enough. You know, we used to play Little League.
Yeah.
Had a Little League All-Star tournaments. You know, I used to play against Mount Star. I played against Eddie Warner, Johnny Breeze, Arthur Douthat, Al Blevins. You know, I can remember all those guys that we used to play against in Mount Sterling.
Yeah.
You know, as a junior in high school, I'll never forget playing the very last football game ever played at Mount Sterling High School up here on their football field. I think I beat 54-0. Arthur Douthat was their quarterback, and they end up playing Raceland next week, I think, in a playoff game to see who goes in the state playoffs. But, you know, I never forget a little building down there that on the end of the field or something. It must have been 30 degrees and raining. And it must have had a, it brought back everybody to ever graduate from Mount Starlight. And that halftime must have lasted for an hour and a half. There was no running clock back in those days.
Yeah.
And two of our boys got in a fight there in the locker room. Coach Pumphrey smoking his cigar. And next thing you know, one of them hauled off and slung at the other one and hit Coach Pumphrey's nose. So he's got his cigar smoke coming out and his nose will bleed. I lost that. I wish I could write it.
John, you got a question?
We got a question here from the bread donkey. Wanted to ask Coach if the positionalist player is something he sees more and more now in basketball.
Oh, yes. You know, I looked up last night, like they said on TV there, the Becker's girl from UConn was playing the four.
Yep.
You know, you do what you got to do. I think some coaches may be too stubborn to do that. But I'm one of these coaches, I'm not going to be that stubborn. You know, I'm going to put people wherever they want to play, just like in football. You know, if you play a kid, you know, well, he's too big to be a running back or he's too small. You know, my best football players were sometimes 150-pound guards because we pulled them and trapped them. And if they'd get on you and hit you, I'm going to play them at guard. You know, I'm not going to put a 280-pound kid there who's not going to move and just get in the way. And just because he's big and they say, well, he should be a lineman, put him there. I'm going to take whoever I can play to get the job done. So I think it's UK's biggest problem up there in basketball. They try to appease some of those guys that come in there as freshmen instead of playing people that can get the job done. You know, and we just try to appease them because we got them there.
Well, I mean, we start talking about Coach Cal, the follows will go up here. They love it when we talk about Coach Cal.
So, I mean, but you're right, because at the end of the day, you want to, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, track, you want to put the best team possible out on the floor. It doesn't matter what, like, positions necessarily. If I can put five players out that are better than your five players, I like my chances.
Oh, that's right. You know, I'm not going to start these five guys because – these have been my five guys I've started for 10 games. Well, if those five guys, even though they might have done well for two or three games, but if they're not doing as well, then you need to put somebody else in there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's teaching those kids anything either.
Right.
You know, you're teaching those kids that they don't have to earn something. They just show up and play.
Right.
Yep.
And I think we've got a lot of that goes on now. And I think a lot of they go to these travel teams and they pay that money. Well, you're going to, that coach going to sit your kid on the bench if you're paying $1,000? No, and only have seven players, so they're going to play.
Yeah,
and you know, then they come to their regular ball team, and it's not that way. You got 15 players, and nobody's had to pay anything, and you're going to try to put out there who can get the job done. And they say, "Well, my one played on a travel team. They did this and did that." Well, sometimes it's a little bit different. Now, I've been around long enough too that I can find me my niece's cheerleading sponsor. And my daughters, four of them are cheerleaders. One of them played basketball. I've been around cheerleading long enough that we can go find us a competition.
Yeah.
We can get first place.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We can go find us a basketball tournament we can play in. Well, you go now, these AAU tournaments, they got three different, you know, we first three divisions. First. And what division? No, then you look up, they had a gold division, silver division, and a
platinum,
another platinum division. Yep. I said, what's the deal on that? I said, y'all finished first place. I said, no, you didn't. I said, they got four or five divisions now.
Yeah, right.
They're going to make everybody finish first because they want that money to roll in there.
Right.
So, you know, and that's another thing. That's time for me to get out of it. When we make it, water it down to the point where everybody thinks, you know, I got these kids now. It used to be a big thing. You'd see pictures of kids getting rings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple of kids there at home. They're in the first grade or second grade. I bet they got a ring for every finger already.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what the travel tournaments are doing now. They're not giving out trophies. They're giving these huge oversized rings to these little girls and little boys everywhere.
You know, when we retire, I mean, we can go into the ring business.
Right, so, right.
Coach, this might be the toughest question we've asked you so far. Boys or girls, which one do you prefer coaching?
Well, I can't really say. I probably had more success in girls, but I think sometimes it's easier to have success in girls. And I've been blessed because I've had, number one, quality kids, good students, probably more loyal and maybe not as selfish because they don't know what selfishness is on that perspective as boys do growing up. But I probably say, you know, probably girls. Now, I've been blessed 12 years of girls teams that, you know, I've had very few problems. The last couple of years, I'd have three or four girls. They'd be holed up for practice. I guess, well, what episode of what soap opera are you on today? You know, I didn't coach girls any different. I coached boys.
Right.
I just as hard, you know, worked them just as hard, and I think they accepted it. And I didn't try to meddle. You know, like it's one time you control the things as you control. I can control the things that's on the basketball court. I can control the things in the locker room during basketball. I can't control the family situations I hear off the court and what goes on. You know, and I think sometimes you're expected to do all that, and you get meddling into all that, you just creating a lot of problems for yourself. So I try to stay away from issues off the court, and we try to keep things basketball related, try to keep things football related. And if I want to talk to you, I'll talk about you individually and what you need to do to make yourself a better person. I'm not going to sit here and talk about so-and-so's family over here or so-and-so's family over here and try to get into them. And I think that's happened in a lot of coaching situations. Yep. I think that happened in Nichols County with some situations there, back before I did the girls, you know, try to get into, you know, taking up for this family over this family. You try to stay out of that and as much as possible. And sometimes it's hard, but, you know, I think that's the key there. But overall, I think it's been a blessing for me to get into girls, even though I didn't think I'd ever do that.
Right.
You know, I thought the answer was always boys. But now, once I've had these girls' teams, when I go back to the boys, I think, and it's changed.
Yeah.
It's changed. You know, I went out last year to help the boys team, a football team, practice two or three times. I've been away for a year. They want me to come back and try to help them do some things, put in some things. I went a couple practices. That's it. I'm not, unless things change on that respect,
right.
I'm not going to be a part of some of the things that happen there. So that's just not me. You know, that's just the way I am.
So, I mean, you talk about keeping off the court stuff, and only focusing on that. When you're building a team, I mean, you're retired now, so we can talk about it. How much are you picking the parents as much as you're picking the kids?
Well, at Nichols County, you don't have much
choice. I got you.
So if they can play, you got to take the parents for what you want or not. But, you know, I must say that, you know, I haven't had much trouble with parents. You know, if they complain, they might go to somebody place else, but they, as personally, you know, they don't come to me too much. And that's, and I can say, basically, I had one parent get upset one time in football when I took their kid who was a junior to try to get him some playing time, put him in a JV football game. He's running plays in and out on the varsity team. So I said, you know, you need to get some work on both sides of the ball. So we're going to play a JV game. I'm going to put you on a JV team. Well, his dad got upset with me. It's probably the only phone call I ever got in years coaching from a parent upset with me because felt like I demoralized his kid because I put him on the JV team. And what all I was doing is trying to give him opportunity to do a little bit more. And I found that to be the case with most parents. The ones that you try to be the fairest to are the ones that give you the most grief sometimes, but you know, you're trying your best interest to help those kind of those kids, but they don't see it that way. But I had one girl one time, she, you know, her dad thought she could, was a great 3-point shooter. You know, she's 5'4", 155 pounds. You know, I played on the post, you know, that's the only place I could figure out where she, but why don't you play her at guard? You know, she couldn't get down the floor to play to get up
right.
A shot. No, if she's standing still in the old days and shooting a shot, maybe she can make one. But you know, you had to run down the floor to get shot there. You know, but you know, it's just I don't know. It's just it's tough. But you know, I think the most successful coaches, you take Robbie Graham over there, GRC. You know, I've had one of my assistant coaches coach with him, and you know, one of the girls that play for me now play for them in the middle school. And I think it's where Robbie's had success. He's brought in a lot of girls from the outside, but I don't think he's had much issue as far as parents trying to get involved. He sort of lays the law down.
Right.
But if he has success, he's had. It's a little bit easier to lay the law down
absolutely.
Than somebody else sometimes. And plus, you know, he might not have to go to Save-A-Lot every night and run into those people or go into a Tracks restaurant
right.
Sit down at a table and here they all come in right next to you. You know, you don't know if that happens, but in a small town, believe me, the first one that you think might going to say something is the one you'll run into on the street.
So before we wrap up, we've talked about the small town, and you talked about the 93 state championship team. Being from Nicholas County, how special was that for the community?
Oh, that was unreal. I mean, it was just unbelievable. The crowds that we had, probably the most attended state tournament girls basketball that they've ever had, that they ever will have. But for the community to come out and support them the way they did, we had parades, everything, all the time doing something. And think about this, all those girls were local.
Yeah.
These teams nowadays, you might find Lyon County and Harlan County and played in the boys' state championship. All those kids may have been Harlan County and Lyon County kids.
Yeah.
The girls' state championship game, you got Sacred Heart. I'm sure Sacred Heart had kids from all over.
Yep.
And they played, who was it? They played in the championship.
McCracken, wasn't it?
McCracken. Now, I don't know about McCracken. They may be a little, but most of those teams are made up of, every team has got a transfer.
Yeah.
Every team has got a transfer. You take the NCAA tournament. Most of those teams, UConn is probably the only team that you look at that's got people that came there as freshmen and are still there as juniors and seniors.
Yeah.
My hat's off to them.
Yeah.
But you take the other teams that's playing, USC is made up of transfer portals. LSU is made up of transfer portals. Yeah. They don't have that sense of community. I give my hat off to Nicholas County because most of their championship teams, they've been Nicholas County kids.
Right.
They're born and bred in Nicholas County. So for them to win that, see, that team, they won the state AAU championship that summer. They won the Class A state championship, and they won the regular state championship. And it's very special. And I always say this day, we got beat. The boys got beat in the finals of the region that year in 93. Of course, we lost Brad Allison. But if we had Ken Dinkins on the boys' team as well as the girls' team, I believe we'd won that too. Kim Dinkins could play.
Yeah.
And, I work with her every day, and she's got a boy that plays now. And our boys' basketball team, I'm putting the word out right now, the next 4 or 5 years.
They're coming.
Keep your eye on her because they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah. So, well, Coach, we thank you so much. I mean, we could probably sit here and talk for hours. I mean, because just – and I know you don't like the term man, myth, legend, but when you've coached for as long as you have, there's plenty of stories, plenty of athletes, and I mean we've just scratched the surface.
Oh yeah.
But we really appreciate you coming on. And as we wrap up, guys, we're gonna give out a couple awards here. Our Kim Soft Athlete of the Week this week is Miss Sarah Zink on the Montgomery County softball team. All she's been doing is just hitting bombs.
Yep.
So, congratulations, Sarah Zink. And then our Tutu Sweet Treat Dog of the Week, because every good athlete, Sean,
has a little dog in him.
I said I caught you off guard.
Sorry, I wasn't ready for that.
And our Tutu Sweet Treat Dog of the Week is the Montgomery County Girls Track Team, who just recently won the Mayor's Cup. So, congratulations to Sarah Zink and the Montgomery County Lady Indians track team. So, well, guys, there you have it for this week's edition of the Community Trust Bank Coach's Corner presented by the From Corner to Corner podcast. If you haven't already, go out and give us a like on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube. Remember to help us promote our Coach's Corner show and our Kim Soft Athletes of the Week program, as well as our Menifee County Athlete of the Month program presented by Brent Wehunts of Kentucky Farm Bureau. Stop it. We do what we do for ours and the surrounding communities, our teams, our coaches, and our students, and our communities. They deserve it. We'll catch you next week. Stay safe, friends.
Hey, everyone. This is Sean with the From Corner to Corner podcast. I'd like to take a moment to thank all of our sponsors. We have Community Trust Bank, who sponsors our studio here on North Maysville. Kimsoft, who is our sponsor of our Athlete of the Week. Tutu Sweet Treats, who sponsors our Dog of the Week. CRC Renovations, Kentucky Realty Group, Jacobs Auto Body, Brett Wehunts, Kentucky Farm Bureau in Frenchburg, sponsor of our Athlete of the Month in Menifee County, and then our newest sponsor, Kelwell Commissary and Simply Secured, who sponsors our From Corner to Corner Road Show. Thank you all for making all of this happen, and we appreciate all of your support.
The Moco Four Horsemen would like to thank you for listening to From Corner to Corner.
Be sure to go out and follow us on Twitter, on TikTok, on Facebook, Instagram, and even YouTube. Whatever podcast platform that you listen to us on, be sure to go out and give us a 5-star review. Thanks as always, and we look forward to seeing you next week.